Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. Thank you for joining us today as we gather around the Word of God to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Brother Venable, are you saying that you are being led of the Holy Spirit, friend? I would not dare to approach the preaching teaching of God's Word if I did not believe that I could be led of the Spirit of God. And I know when we open the Bible and we read from and we rightfully divide the Word from the Scripture, I know we're being led of the Spirit. And I know that we're going to hear what the Spirit, therefore, is saying to the church, to the body of Christ. Amen. Listen, and I do believe that if you've tuned in today and you are not a Christian, that this word that we're bringing today, this message we're bringing today, is God wanting to save you if you're not a Christian. God wanting to alert you, to warn you, in fact, amen, to run to Jesus and stop running from Him, amen, so that He can save you, so that He can seal you with the Holy Spirit, and so that He can save you from the wrath to come. And that is the title of our message today, Flee the Wrath to Come. If you're not a Christian, and if you are a Christian, to understand what you've been saved from, not just when what you've been saved to, but what you've been saved from, to better appreciate the next time you sing Amazing Grace, to appreciate grace even more when you understand the awful plight of the wicked today. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans 3 and verse 25 on the subject, fleeing the wrath to come. It said, whom God, speaking of Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. First statement I want to make, Jesus shed His blood to appease God's justifiable anger. Paul spoke of wrath taking away sin. Spoke of Jesus, rather, as one who would turn aside God's wrath by taking away sin. At heart, that's what propitiation is. To propitiate is to turn aside or appease or pacify someone's, listen, justifiable anger. Wrath as it relates to God is justifiable anger. Some consider the image of propitiation to be more pagan than Christian. They don't want to believe in an angry God. So they deny God's character, His holiness, and His justice. But we have to understand this rightly, because the anger or wrath of God is misunderstood most of the time, if not almost all the time. Many think of God as some sort of peeved deity or kind of cosmic, terrible-tempered being who indulges in violent, uncontrolled displays of temper when human beings do not do what they ought to do, someone has said. They went on to say, and I like this is very true, but God does not fly off the handle at the most trivial aggravation. Still less does He lose His temper for no apparent reason at all. God is never malicious, spiteful, or vindictive. His anger is never mysterious nor irrational. It is never unpredictable. In fact, it's always predictable. The fact is, it is sin and evil that arouses the wrath of a holy God. God is angry with sin and evil in all its forms and manifestations. You see, the wonderful thing about God is He can be angry at sin and sinners for sinning, and at the same time in His love, devise a way to save him from himself, from the consequence of his sins? Hallelujah, by sending Jesus to die in our place and bidding us to come to Him, repenting of our sin and receiving Him as our Savior. But there is no doubt about it. If you don't know Jesus today, the Scripture says, the wrath of God abides on all those who do not know Him, whose sins are unforgiven. Jonathan Edwards preached in the 1700s, sinners in the hands of an angry God. You say, preacher, that wouldn't preach today. Well, I'm very sorry to hear anyone with that attitude, because the fact that it is not being preached today. Where do you think sinners are going to end up? According to the Scripture, according to God's Word. Where does the Bible say what is going to be the eternal destiny of those who know not God through Jesus Christ? Listen to what he preached way back then and see if it doesn't fit the condition of the lost person today. Jonathan Edwards uses the picture of a spider hanging by one of its silver threads in his sermon. Underneath it is a fire. At any moment, a spark or the heat could sever the thread and the spider could end up falling into the flames. You and I, dear friend, are hanging by a thread. Well, what do you mean, preacher, hanging by a thread? I mean that your life and my life is one breath from ending, one heartbeat from ending. Listen, you're going to get morbid? No, I'm going to get real. It's time to get real. You or I could have an aneurysm right now and it's over. I could have a massive stroke or a massive heart attack. You could be out playing golf and get struck by lightning. You could be out fishing and get struck by lightning. And here in Florida, you could be out walking your dog and get taken under by an alligator. Listen, life is uncertain. That's why the Bible says, go to now. In other words, think about it. Think about it. You that say, tomorrow we're going to go into this city and do that and that city and do this. We're going to build something here, start a new business there, whereby you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do such and such. For you do not know what another day is going to bring. No one on this planet has the absolute assurance of seeing tomorrow. But we can have the absolute assurance that whether we live or we die, we belong to God. And if we take our last breath here as a believer, as a Christian, hallelujah, we're going to take our next breath in His presence and be eternally with Him. Listen, Jonathan Edwards would talk about this as a spider hanging by a thread that any moment could fall into the flame. He says we are dangling above the flames of hell. At any moment the thread could break. If you're not saved, we could end up falling into hell's eternal flames. What a message. But then he would counter the certainty of judgment with the certainty of forgiveness and reconciliation through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Was Edwards off track? Was he one of those Bible-thumping, fire and brimstone preachers? Did he read from the same Bible? More importantly, did he preach from it accurately? Well, let's see what Jesus said. This is where he got his message from Jesus and Paul. Faith is built upon the apostles and prophets, with Christ being the chief cornerstone. It's not built upon the successful preacher that has built a big following in minister. And my Bible said if the blind lead the blind, everyone ends up in the ditch. It doesn't matter how many people follow the blind man in the blindness of error. I don't want to follow a blind man. I want to see clearly what the Scriptures have to say. How about you? See what Jesus said in John 3:36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath, remember, justifiable anger, of God abideth on him. And in Romans 1:18, the Apostle Paul said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And in Romans 2:5, it says, "But after thy hardness, an impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And verse 6 says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds." That is every man, you see, that the wrath of God abides on. Aren't you glad that you have the Son, that you have life? Dear friend, it's time you put on your shouting. I don't know what your condition is today, financially, physically, circumstantially, but I know if you're saved today, you've got a reason to shout praise unto God that you're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. And the journey is getting sweeter every single day because Jesus' blood has satisfied God's justice and appeased His wrath. Our sins were judged in Him and our offenses nailed to His cross. Hallelujah. That's why John the Baptist asked in Luke 3 and verse 7, "Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" To the religionists that came down to criticize and try to pick apart His ministry, they didn't come with fruit meet for repentance. Listen, the term wrath of the Lamb seems like a paradox. Wrath of the Lamb? The Savior who sacrificed Himself, who was dumb before His shearers and didn't open His mouth, who allowed them to take Him to the cross and nail Him to it, who stayed on it when He could have called the armies of heaven to take Him down because He loved us just that much. But this Savior rejected is now the judge who condemns. Revelation 6:12 through 17, listen to it. "And I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled up together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Listen, fall on us. Fall on us.'" Why? What terror would drive someone to ask a mountain to fall on them and crush them and kill them? "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath." Whose wrath? The wrath of the Lamb. The Scripture says that all judgment has been now committed to the Son. God, who used His Son to reach out to save, now is using His Son to express His justifiable anger to those who have rejected the very blood of the cross, the suffering of His Son. "For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Oh, friend of mine, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica about this wrath to come. Listen to what he said. "And you who are troubled, rest with us." See, they were very persecuted, and the persecution's getting worse here in America. It's very bad in many nations across the world for Christians. "But listen, you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Oh, dear friend, today, Jesus is not only coming back for us and we who are saved, He's coming back to judge the earth. He's coming back as judge. We're all going to meet Him, whether as our sovereign and our Savior or whether our judge. Listen, salvation from an angry God comes only by means of propitiation. To be saved, God's anger against sin and sinner needs to be appeased and pacified. And it's Christ's blood shed for us on the cross that atoned for our sin, appeased God's wrath, satisfied God's justice, and set us free. Listen to Romans 5 and verse 9. And I'm going to ask you, do you have any shouting shoes to put on? And do you have them on right now? If you do, it's time, amen, to put them to work. It's time to praise Him on the cymbal and the high-sounding cymbal, and to praise Him upon the harp and the psaltery. Glory to God in the sackbut. I don't know what it is either. I don't even bother looking it up. Even if I found out what it was, I wouldn't know what it was. I know it was an ancient instrument, but what it was saying was this: let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Even the trees of the field are to clap their hands. Praise God. Amen. Because of what He has done for us. Friend of mine, I'm so glad that even though wrath, justifiable anger is coming, and the tribulation is coming, oh, friend of mine, I'm glad to be saved today. Romans 5 and verse 9, it says, much more than being now, if you're a Christian, justified by His blood. This is a forensic term, justified. The Bible said God is just, and He is a justifier of them that believe upon Jesus Christ. How can He be just? How can He be a righteous judge and be justified in forgiving us our sins and accepting us into His kingdom? How can He do that? Because He judged our sin in Christ on the cross. The Scripture said, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ. Where? On the cross, justifying the world unto Himself. Praise God, bringing us in to a reconciling the world unto Himself. He died for the sins of the world, not just the earth, but you and I and the peoples of the earth. For you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, friend, I don't have faith in my own righteousness, but I have faith in His blood. I don't have faith in my denominational affiliation. Amen. I'm not one of those persons who I'm a Paul or I'm of Apollos. I'm not following a particular minister, but I have faith in His blood. I don't have faith in earthly priest or preacher, but in my great high priest who shed His blood for me. Because Christ's blood appeases the wrath of God and justifies us so that we are sure to be saved by wrath through Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So many of the old hymns of the church celebrate and proclaim the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Are you washed in the blood? And it says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Come to Christ. Do you remember when you came to Christ, when he bid you come to him, and you came just like you were, with all of your faults, your fallacies, your sins of omission and commission? But he said, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Oh, happy day. Remember that great song of the faith? Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. When Jesus washed my sins away. And this, Lord Jesus, for this I humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Have you got on your shouting shoes today? As the emphasis here pre-resurrection morning is on the cross. Hallelujah, where Jesus suffered and died for us. And on resurrection morning rose for our justification. His resurrection proved that God received his sacrifice in our behalf. Amen. So this song was written in light of that great truth, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. There's a blood-washed multitude, another song says, a mighty army strong. The Lord of hosts is their righteousness, redeeming love their song. From the great hymn, the blood-washed throng. Oh, and how about this song? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. The question is asked even in our day, even this very day, are you washed in the blood? What is God saying to us through his word today? He's trying to tell us something, if we will hear it, that our current popular version of Christianity, comfortable, humorous, superficial, entertaining, worldly wise, is exposed for the irreverent presentation of the gospel of Jesus that it really is. A preacher, a God-called, God-anointed preacher, is commissioned to give people not what they want, but what they need. Not what's trending, but what is true. No man has any business or woman walking into the pulpit to entertain. He's there to present Calvary in all its fullness, hope, and glory. It is said that Gandhi once asked some Christian missionaries to sing him a song. They asked, which song would he like to hear? He said, the one that expresses all that is deepest in your faith. After briefly consulting with one another, they all sang together, when I survey the wondrous cross on whence the Prince of Glory, which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Listen, the gospel tells us that either the sinner pays for his sin and experiences the justifiable anger of God and judgment to come, or Christ pays for our sin. Either I pay for my sin by spending eternity in hell, or Christ has paid for my sin by going to the cross and the grave. Of course, I can never pay off my debt, and I can never assuage my guilt. I actually increase my debt and guilt every single day. So even though I spend eternity in hell, I've not been there long enough to appease God's wrath against my sin. I want you to think about that. Christ is able to do what I cannot, what you cannot. His sacrifice offered upon the cross does pay the debt and the guilt of sin. His sacrifice offered upon the cross does appease God's wrath. This doesn't mean I'm suddenly an innocent and pure and sinlessly perfect. It does mean that I'm cleared of my sin. It does mean that because of Christ, God treats me as if I'm innocent and right with Him. God, we see, is both just and the justifier. Sin is punished in Jesus, and God's wrath is propitiated. The question that begs the answer today, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you come to Jesus for the cleansing power? Oh, friend, don't run from Jesus today. Don't run deeper into the darkness through rebellion. Don't harden your heart to the call of God to come to Jesus and be saved today. The same God who is obligated to judge you is the God who wants to save you, wants to pardon you, wants to forgive your sin, seal you with the Holy Spirit, and save you from the wrath to come. That was an interpretation to a message given in tongues in one of our services in the past few months, and am now using it during invitations. This is what God wants to do. It's biblically substantiated and accurate. God wants to save you. And God wants to keep you by sealing you with the Holy Spirit, literally branding you, marking you as His very own. That's why the scripture said, nevertheless, the foundation standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And furthermore, He wants to save you and me from the wrath to come. So don't run from Him today. Run to Him. Repent of your sin. Receive Jesus as your Savior, so that all that the blood of Jesus has supplied can be applied by faith. Hallelujah. And you can know that if you draw your last breath, or when rather you draw your last breath here, you don't have to concern yourself with the wrath to come. Today, if you're a Christian, as we move to celebrate the resurrection, that resurrection could not occur, would not occur, and we could not be saved through it if Jesus hadn't went to the cross and shed His precious blood for us. So today, let's prepare our hearts to celebrate the wonderful gift that God gave us when He gave us His only begotten Son, in Jesus' name.